All right, good evening. This week's parasha is Vayishlach, the eighth parasha of Chumash, the parasha that is read as we enter Kislev and get closer to Chanukah. This is certainly a parasha that is very much connected to Chanukah. Besides that, it's the eighth parasha, which of course connects us to the Yom Tov of eight, the Yom Tov that is of 8 days, Tamanya Yoimin. We have in it the story of Shechem and Dinah, where Shimon and Levi conquer the entire city of Shechem, certainly similar to the Rabban Biad Ma'atim of the Chanukah story, which, as the Midrashim tell us, part of the Gezerah was that the Besulais were defiled by the Yevanim, just as Dinah was in the story of Shechem, and Shimon and Levi, who had just turned Bar Mitzvah, they just entered into their 13th or 14th year, they became the B'nai Yud Gimel Shana, as Rashi makes the Cheshbon in the Gemara in Nazir, that Levi just became Bar Mitzvah at the time, and of course Levi, the hero here in this story, is the grandfather, the great-grandfather of Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who in his time, through him and through the 13 Maccabees, as Rashi tells us in Parshas Bracha, that there were 13, Yud Beis B'nei Chashmei Noivi Elozor, accomplished the same feat as we see here in the parasha. We also have here the story of the Gid Hanosha, as the Svarim tell us, that the Malach, the Samach Mem, Sarei Shel Esav, who was trying to harm Yaakov, who dislocated the Gid Hanosha, the Kaf Yerech Yaakov, as the Svarim tell us, that the leg of Yaakov corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash, which is called Hoid. There's a dispute whether it was the left foot of Yaakov, the right foot, which is Netzach, Netzach or Hoid. And he did succeed in dislocating the Gid HaNosha, which is why later there had to be a Tisha B'Av, why later there's a Churban, of which Chanukah is the tikkun. Chanukah is the tikkun for Tisha B'Av, as we'll perhaps see tonight or in the next few weeks. Kaf Yerech Yaakov is B'Gematria L'Hadlik Ner Chanukah. Chanukah is the regel of the Yomim Tovim. It is the last of the Yomim Tovim. It is the fifth Yom Tov. We have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. 1, 2, 3, and then we have Purim, which is Yom Tov number 4, we have Chanukah, which is the fifth Yom Tov, corresponding to the fifth Mida, which is Hoid, the Ha-Hoid Zuhi Beis HaMikdash, which the leg of Yaakov, the hand is Chesed, the other hand is Gvura, the body is Teferes, and the two legs are Netzach and Hoid. The leg that was dislocated corresponds to Hoid, which is the Beis HaMikdash, which is why later on there was a Churban, as the Chassam Sofer tells us, that from the 365 days of the year correspond to the 365 mitzvahs loisaseh, Gid HaNosha, mitzvah number 9 in the Torah, corresponding to the 9th of Av, Gid HaNosha is the mitzvah that corresponds to Tisha B'Av. If not for the Gid HaNosha, if not for the story here of the dislocation of the Gid HaNosha, there would not have been a Tisha B'Av. And Chanukah is the tikkun. Chanukah, as we read here, Vayizrach loy Hashemesh, loy the Lamed Vav Neiros of Chanukah, the sun rises prematurely, just as it set prematurely in the previous parasha. Here it rises suddenly in the middle of the night, just as Chanukah is the Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach in the middle of the dark nights of Teves, when we get a taste of the future. Chanukah is the Tikkun of Hoid, as we spoke about last week. So in Parshas Vayishlach, there are certainly many, many remarks into Chanukah, including how the Parsha ends with the eight Melochim that Molchu Lifnei Melech Melech Lifnei Yisrael, with the eighth king being Hadar, corresponding to Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov of Mahadrin and Amahadrin, as the Sforim tell us. But tonight we'll focus on something different, also related to Chanukah in this week's Parsha. And that is, the parasha begins, Vayehi li shor v'chamor. Yaakov Avinu lets Esav know through the malachim that he sends him that he has an ox and a donkey. So the Medrash says, the shor is Yosef and the chamor is Mashiach. The shor is Mashiach ben Yosef and the chamor is Mashiach ben David. Oni v'roichev al chamor. Yaakov is letting him know that I have what's necessary to fight you. I have Mashiach ben Yosef, I have Mashiach ben David. The Medrash also says, Shor is Esav and Chamor is Yishmael. When the Shor and the Chamor get together, that's Kalayim. By Sachrosh Peshor of Achamor Yachtav, it is imperative that Esav and Yishmael not join together. However, as we read in the previous parasha, Vayelech Esav el Yishmael, there's a time when Esav and Yishmael do join. And as we saw at the end of Toldos, Esav marries Machal as the daughter of Yishmael, so there's a union between Esav and Yishmael. But in this parasha, that union is strengthened. Because in this parasha, we learn about the children that Esav and Machlas, who is called here Bosmas, have together. So in this parasha, the danger is greater, because Esav and Yishmael are really unified here, not only in marriage, through marriage, but there are already children, Reuel, Nachas, Zerach, Shammah, and Miza, as the pasuk discusses later on, when it discusses the children of Esav. And the Baal HaTurim tells us that because Yaakov said the word Adoni 8 times, he submitted himself to Esav. He said, my master. He said 8 times. That's why later on, Klal Yisrael is punished, that we have to go through the 8 kings that I mentioned at the end of the parasha. Eila ha-melochim asher molchu be'edoim lefnei melech melech lefnei Yisrael. Had Yaakov not submitted himself to Esav, not humbled himself to Esav, we would not have had to go through the Shemayna Malachim that I mentioned here at the end of the parasha. Although Chazal learned from Yaakov that in Golus we do have to humble ourselves sometimes to the Goyim. There is the Altizgara Be'uma, is not to antagonize the nations, not to rebel against the nations as long as we're in Golus. However, Chazal seeing this, some negativity here in the part of Yaakov, that Yaakov refers to Esav as his master. Although later it says he bowed to Esav 7 times, Vayishtachu sheva pa'amim, so there the Zohar says he wasn't really bowing to Esav, he was bowing to Hashem. But perhaps it's more than that. He bowed 7 times. Here he refers to Esav as my master 8 times. And that's where the problem is, because the number 8 is the number that is associated with Lamailam and Hateva. The number 8 is the number that is associated with Klal Yisrael. We are connected to the number 8. We have Bris Milah, which was given to us as the 8th mitzvah, the mitzvah that is performed on the 8th day. The number 8 is the number that, as we mentioned many times, the number of that is associated with Olam Haba, Haba Begematria 8. In the world of 8, Yaakov rules. In the world of 8, there's no submission to Esav. We're not worried. We're allowed to enter into the boundary of Esav. When Mashiach comes, as we read in this week's Haftarah of Olam Mashiach Behartziah, and Mishpat Tzahar Esav. And on Chanukah, there's a taste of that. Chanukah, the Yom Tov of 8, which is, as the Bnei Yisoscha tells us, in the name of Pinchas Koretz, based on the Rekeach, that we are zeichet to the Oirei Shal Melech HaMashiach. Chanukah, we experience the future light, the Or HaGonaz that was Nignaz, La'osid Lavoi. On Chanukah, we get a taste of La'osid Lavoi. On Chanukah, therefore, we do not fear Esav. We do not fear the powers of evil. As we mentioned, we enter the boundary of Esav. We light the menorah on the left side, which is the side that is associated with Esav. We light the menorah below 10 tfachim, on the doorway towards the outside, second half of the month, Mishatishka Hachama. The Megala Amukais, who literally was a Megala Amukais, who revealed the depths, an amazing sefer written by Rav Nosson Otto Shapiro, who lived over 300 years ago, tells us, we know that Yosef is the sitnai shel Esav. Yosef is the rival of Esav. When Yosef was born, Yaakov is not afraid of Esav anymore. He says, let me go, he tells Lavan. So the Megala Amukas tells us a chiddush, and he says that just as Yosef is the sitnai shel Esav, Binyamin is the sitnai shel Yishmael. With Binyamin, we can combat Yishmael. And especially when Esav and Yishmael join together, because actually Binyamin is a continuation of Yosef. As we know, when Yosef was born, Rachel calls him that because Yosef Hashem li bein achir. The whole name Yosef means that there's going to be another child. So Yosef and Binyamin are in reality one. As the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Mipnei boneho shel Rachel, Amalek is going to fall through the descendants of Rachel, and it doesn't matter who, whether it's Yosef or Binyamin. We see throughout history, in the time of Purim, it was Binyamin, it was Mordechai and Esther. It was Shaul who almost completed the job. Shaul from Binyamin, who combats Amalek, but doesn't finish the job. And then it's Yahushua ben Nun from Ephraim, from Yosef. It's Mashiach ben Yosef in the future who will fight Mulchemes Gog Umagog. So it's Yosef and Binyamin together. But the Chiddush of our parasha, although we have Yosef in last week's parasha, but there we do not have Binyamin. In Parashas Vayetze, Binyamin wasn't born yet. In Parashas Vayetze, 11 Shvatim are born to Yaakov Avinu, but it's not Mitosai Shlema until this week's parasha. In our parasha, we have Binyamin. The Aviv Koralai Binyamin. He's born in a tragic situation. Binyamin is the only one who was born on the right side. That's why he's called Benyamin. He's born on the right side. He's born in Eretz Yisrael, which, in contrast to Chutzal Eretz, is the Yamin. Binyamin, is of the four that the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, never did a chet. He was those from those who meis be'et Yoshel Nochash. And Binyamin is zeiche to the ultimate. Binyamin is zeiche that the Beis HaMikdash, which is the purpose of creation, the reason why Hashem created this world, to dwell in this world, Dira B'tachtoinim, is dafke in the Beis HaMikdash, and especially the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. And the Beis HaMikdash was built in the portion of land of Binyamin. Even Yosef, who was zeiche to have the Mishkan, the longest lasting Mishkan, which was in Shiloh, for 369 years, but that Mishkan was destroyed. And from there, the Shekhinah moves to Yerushalayim, where it remains permanently. As we read in Parshas V'Zayis HaBracha, in the Bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, benches Binyamin, Ule Binyamin Amar, Yedid Hashem, Yishkoin Lovetach, Choyfef Olav Kol Hayoim, Uvein Kiseifav Shoche. And there Rashi tells us, Choyfef Olav Kol Hayoim, all day means forever. The Shekhinah is there constantly, Me'olam Lezoz HaShekhinah, Mikoysel HaMaravi, even today. That's the Mokom of Hashras HaShchinah, that's the Mokom HaMikdash, which Binyamin was Zoyche, that it was built in his portion. Why was Binyamin Zoyche that it should be built in his portion? We find among, of course, all the greatness of Binyamin, we're not going to sit here and discuss how great Binyamin was, we have no idea how great Binyamin was, but Chazal tell us, they reveal to us, two of the great Shvachim of Binyamin. One is, really not by his own merit, and that is that Binyamin did not bow to Esav. Binyamin wasn't there when Yaakov encounters Esav at the beginning of the parasha, where everyone bows to Esav. Even Yosef, although Yosef stands up and blocks Rachel from Esav's view, but he also bowed. So although Yosef is sitnoi shel Esav, but there was a submission to Esav here in this parasha by Yosef, together with the rest. Not Binyamin. Binyamin wasn't there yet. Binyamin wasn't born yet. So Binyamin never bowed to Esav. But later in Chumash, we read, and as Chazal tell us, that Binyamin, on his own, of course, had a great schus, and that was that Binyamin was quiet. Binyamin could have spoken, and he didn't. Binyamin knew that Yosef was sold into slavery. Binyamin could have easily told his father what happened. And as Chazal tells us, Binyamin was zeichet to the 12th stone on the Choshen, which was called Yoshfei. Yudshin Peihei. Yesh Peh. Yesh Peh means there is a mouth. He had a mouth. He could have spoken. V'shoisek, but he was quiet. He did not talk. And that's chus, because Binyamin guarded his mouth. He had Shmiras HaPeh, Shmiras HaLoshen. And he did not say a word. And really, he could have spoken, and there are even Mepharshim who say that he should have. He should have let Yaakov know what went on. But most are of the opinion that it's mentioned not as a gnai, but it's a shevach for Binyamin, that yesh peh v'shoisek, he was quiet, and because he was quiet, he was zeicher that the Beis HaMikdash was built in his portion of land, where the Shechina rests forever. Choyfef olav kol hayoim, says the Pasuk. It's amazing. These four words, choyfef olav kol hayoim, abigamatria yoshfei, which is the stone of Binyamin. Yesh peh, because he had a mouth, and he was quiet. That's why, Choyfef Olav Kol Hayoim. That's why he was Zoichet Hashras Hashchina in his Chelek, where the Beis HaMikdash is built, which the Beis HaMikdash is the Makom, where all Yidin joined together, Ba'achdus Gemura. total unity, where no one speaks ill about another Jew. Not another group of Jews, not another individual Jew, but all Jews are a miksha achas, one unit, as the menorah, which we light on Chanukah, symbolizes. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, ad yerecha, ad pircha, miksha hi, is hammered out of one piece of gold, the chativa achas, because all of Klal Yisrael are rooted as one. We are all ke'ish echad, belev echad, all connected to Hashem echad, and therefore, how can one talk bad about another Jew? And Binyamin, yesh peh v'shoisek, Binyamin is quiet. Esther is quiet in the time of Purim. Ein Esther magedes meiladeta. Shaul is quiet. Shaul, the descendant of Binyamin, lahigad hamalucha. This is what brings Binyamin to Chanukah. Before Binyamin is born, Yaakov returns to Eretz Yisrael, and here he fulfills his promise that we spoke about last week. He pours the oil on the matzeva. Vayitzvek shemen al roisha, which we spoke about last week, which was the shemen amishcha. Here it says it again. Vayatzev Yaakov matzeva, vayasech oleho nesech, vayitzvek oleho shomen. But here he does more than just pour oil. He also pours another pouring. Vayasech oleho nesech. Most say it means wine. He poured wine. This was nisach hayayin. And the Targum Yadison says it was also nisach hamayim. He poured water also. So he's preparing the future Beis HaMikdash for all the liquids that will be necessary there. The wine, the water in the time of Sukkot, and the oil in the time of Chanukah. The wine, of course, is Purim, and the oil is Chanukah. Here Yaakov is preparing us for the future Yom Tov of Purim and Chanukah, which both are rooted in Binyamin. Binyamin, who Mordechai and Esther come from, as we read, V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitroch, Babreke Yechal Adel, Erev Yechalek Sholol, which Rashi and Chumash and Vayechi tells us it's referring to Purim, in the time of Erev, in the time of Golus, Yechalek Sholol, they divide the spoils, Mordechai and Esther divide the spoils of Haman, he named base Haman Asati LeEsther. So Yaakov is pouring wine, which is the Yom Tov of Purim, Chayiv Nishal B'sumei B'puri Adel Yoda. And he's also preparing us for Chanukah, Vayitzok Olei HaShomen. What does Binyamin have to do with Chanukah? Kislev is the month of Binyamin. Kislev, which is the ninth month, and there are 12 Shvatim that correspond to the 12 months of the year, as mentioned in Sefer Yetzirah, says the Arizal, Kislev, the ninth month, the Chodesh HaTashi, is the month of Binyamin, the ninth Shevet. Even though he's the last to be born, but he was the ninth in the order of the way they traveled in the Beis HaMikdash. He was the ninth also in the order of the way they sacrificed the Karbonis that we're going to be reading on Chanukah and the Nasiim at the end of Parshas Nasi. The Nasi, Bayoim HaTeshi, Avidan Ben Gedoini, who is from Binyamin. So Binyamin is Kislev. But more than that, being that Binyamin is where the Beis HaMikdash is built, the Beis HaMikdash is built in the portion of land of Binyamin, the Nes of Chanukah occurs in the Beis HaMikdash. Unlike any of the other Yomim Tovim that we have, not even Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkot, the Yomim Tovim that are in our Torah, those Yomim Tovim were not given to us as a result of what occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. Pesach happened in Mitzrayim. Shavuos happened on Har Sinai, which was not even Eretz Yisrael. Sukkot is B'tzeisom Mitzrayim. Purim was in Persia, present-day Iran. Chanukah takes place in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in the Makom HaMikdash. Where did they find the Pach Shemem? Munach B'chaisamay Shel Kohen Gadol, in the Beis HaMikdash. Where does the menorah light for 8 days? In the Beis HaMikdash, which is the portion of land of Binyamin. So Binyamin is not only connected to Purim, Binyamin is connected to Chanukah. So Binyamin is a fusion of Purim and Chanukah, which on both of these Yomim Tovim, we enter into the world of the Sitra Acher. We enter into the world of Esav and Yishmael, as we'll see. Esav, literally, we see in the time of Purim, Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtach. Mordechai does not bow to Haman, as Binyamin did not bow to Esav. Binyamin doesn't bow to Esav, so his descendant Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtach. Even though it was the time of Golus, and in a time of Golus, we're supposed to submit ourselves to the nations. Where are we? Mordechai does not. Mordechai stands up to the nations, and Mordechai brings us the Nes of Purim. Because on Purim, we experience a ha'ora of the Emes HaMashiach. And when Mashiach comes, there's no more rebellion against, there's no Isser to rebel against the nations, there are no more Sholosh Shvuas. That's going to be bottled when Mashiach comes. Clearly, there's no worry about Tchikas HaKeitz, or Yala Bachayma, or Merida Be'umais. When the Geula comes, we go into the world of the nations, we take over the world. And on Purim and Chanukah, even today, even Bizman HaGolus, we do it as well. Purim, we experience Yemais HaMashiach for one day, and Hanukkah we experience it for 8 days. In Parshas Shlach, which the only Parsha that sounds very much like ours, Vayishlach, and there is a connection, there we read of what causes the first Tisha B'Av in history, which is as a result of the dislocation of the hip of the Gid HaNosha in our parasha. And that is the Chet HaMeraglim. The Chet HaMeraglim is what brought the first Tisha B'Av, which leads to the final Tisha B'Av, which leads to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and so on. It's all because of the Chet HaMeraglim, which also is the climax of the Chet HaEgel, as Rashi tells us in Parshas Shlach. And what was the Chet HaMeraglim among all that they did wrong because of that, whether it was a chesaron nemuna and everything else that it says in the Pesukim? It was a chet bepeh. They said something they should not have said. As the Pesuk says, Vayoytziu dibas ha'oretz. They spoke ill about Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to go in. They despised the land. And Rashi begins the parasha telling us that the reason why they were punished was because they didn't learn Musar from Miriam. Miriam, which is the story that is in the parasha before that, Baha'aloyscha, which Baha'aloyscha, by the way, is the parasha that we read on Chanukah, the last day. Baha'aloyscha, incidentally, is the 36th parasha of Chumash, connected to Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov, we light the 36 candles, in which the Or HaGonis that lasted for 36 hours is revealed. In Baha'aloyscha, we begin the parasha with the Menorah. Baha'aloyscha is Haneiros El Mul Penei HaMenorah Yoiru Shivas Haneiros. That's what we read on the last day of Chanukah, on Zois Chanukah. And Baha'aloyscha ends with the story of Miriam, where Miriam speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. And from there we learn out, Zochar Eis Asher Osa Hashem Olekecha L'Miriam Baderach B'tzeizcha Mimitzrayim, the severity of Lashon Hora, the severity of speaking when we should not. Shmiras HaPeh, Hishomer B'nega HaTzaras Lishma Ma'od V'la'asoyz. Miriam, and Miriam, of course, is the great tzaddikus, and on her madrega there was a tiny pagam of Lashon Hara where she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu and she should not have. And there's where the Torah reveals to us, Peh el Peh Adaber Boy. Hashem says to Miriam and to Aaron, do you know how great Moshe Rabbeinu was? Peh el Peh Adaber Boy. And it's just a strange expression. Mouth to mouth, I speak to him. It sounds like mouth to mouth resuscitation. What is that? What does Peh el Peh Adaber Boy mean? That's a lashon that is usually not used. Peh el peh. Ponim be ponim we find in the Chumash. What's peh el peh? But here, this is where the Torah reveals to us the kedusha of the peh, the mouth, and not speaking when we should not, and not saying what we should not. And Chanukah is the Yom Tov of kedushas ha-peh. Literally. Chanukah, first of all, is the 85th day of the year. You start counting from Rosh Hashanah, Chanukah is Yom Pei-Hei. It is the 85th day. If you count from the beginning of Tishrei till Chanukah, you got 85 days, which is Peh, Pei-Hei. The Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. It is not written in Tanakh. It is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. It does not have its own Megillah. As the Gemara says, Chanukah Loi Tanya. It doesn't even say it in a Braisa. Chanukah is compared to Sukkah, as the Gemara speaks about. Sukkah is part of Torah Shebiksav. Chanukah is Torah Shebaal Peh. The Bnei Yisoscha tells us the difference between Chanukah and Purim, based on the Mekubalim, that as we all know that we have in our necks a food pipe and a windpipe, a trachea and an esophagus. The trachea, which is the windpipe, that's Chanukah, the koneh. And the food pipe, the vesha, the esophagus, that's Purim. Why? Because Purim is a Yom Tov that we eat and drink and feast, so we use the food pipe. Chanukah, though, is the windpipe, the koneh, the trachea, because the Yom Tov of Chanukah was given to us not to eat and feast, really, according to most Rishonim, but lahalel ulahoidos. Lahoidos ulahalel shimcha hagodol. Lashon ha'acheres kovum behalel vehoidoa. To praise Hashem and to thank Hashem, which we need a mouth to do that with. We use our peh, lahoidos ulahalel. And with that, we rectify the chait of the meraglim who utilize their mouths to gossip, to slander Eretz Yisrael, which brought us, unfortunately, the Churban and the first Tisha B'Av. It's really clear if one looks into the Siddurim of the Sfardim. I mean, whatever your nusach is, whether you daven Ashkenaz or Sfard, nothing wrong with looking at a Sfard Siddur once in a while. I mean, the real Sfardim now. And in their Siddur, they have in Ahava Rabba, right before Kriya Shema, they have, that you're supposed to have in mind when you say the last few lines of Ahava Rabba, the six zechirois that we're supposed to say every day, including Zochair Esa Asherasa Hashem Alekecha LeMiriam Baderach Betzeisachem Imitzroyim. Remember what happened to Miriam? Because she wasn't careful the way she spoke. Where we have that in mind, and here's the amazing thing, when we say Lahoidais, at the end of Ahava Rabba, we say, we say over there at the end of Ahava Rabba, very similar to what we say in the Al Hanisim, that we ask Hashem that He should gather us from the four corners and bring us and enable us to praise. And in that phrase, when we say Lahoidais in Ahava Rabba, in that phrase, when we say Lahoidais, there we're supposed to have in mind, as it says over there in the Siddur of the Sfardim, what's the connection? So the connection is based on what we're saying. It's very clear now. The connection is the way to rectify the gossip of Miriam, and it's not just her gossip, but the gossip that causes the Chet HaMeraglim, because the Meraglim didn't learn from what Miriam did. Lailokhu Musar, as Rashi tells us at the beginning of Parashat Shlach. The tikkun, therefore, is lahayda sulahala. When we praise Hashem and we utilize our windpipe, our mouths, kichol peh lacha yoida, we say in nishmas. What's the purpose of the mouth? Hashem created us with a mouth, not just to eat, but the purpose of the mouth is to praise Hashem. Kol peh lacha yoida. So halil v'hayda, that's the tikkun for the peh when it is utilized in a negative way, which would happen with Miriam and happened with the Chet HaMeraglim. And it's interesting, the Gemara uses the expression in Shabbos concerning Chanukah that we're supposed to light the menorah mishatishka hachama ad shatichla regel min hashuk ad dekalya rigla de tamudoi, which is the same expression, meraglim. But the nes of Chanukah, the mitzvah of Chanukah, the last mitzvah that was ever given to us, mitzvah number 620, the last mitzvah, the last Yom Tif, is a tikkun for Chet HaMeraglim because of the lack of the Shmiras HaPeh, which brought about the first Tisha B'Av. Ad dekalya rigla de Tarmudoi. Tarmud was a nation. The Tarmudoyim are equated with Amalek, and it comes from the word Moiredes, which means to rebel. Where in Chumash do we find this expression? By the Meraglim. Ach Hashem al Timroidu. Timroidu was the same letters as Moiredes, as Tarmudoi. So Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Ad Dekalya Rigla De Tarmudoi, Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashuk, and especially as the Svarim tell us that Kaf Regel, which is the bottom of the foot, when the Pasuk says Ad Midrach Kaf Rogel, that we're not allowed to antagonize or enter into the boundaries of Esav until Hashem sets His foot on Har HaZeisim, V'omdu Ragel of Bayoim Hahu. Kaf Regel is B'gematria Ner Chanukah, which is it's the bottom of the foot, it's the last Yom Tov. And when Chanukah arrives, we do enter into the boundary of Esav, which the boundary of Esav is the left side and the outside and below 10 tvachim. So therefore, based on this, we can understand Binyamin's connection to Chanukah. Binyamin who yesh peh v'shoisek, Binyamin who has a mouth, but he utilizes it only to praise Hashem, not to speak lashon hara about his brothers. Binyamin who's in total achdus with all of his brothers, despite of what they did to his real flesh and blood Yosef, Binyamin who does not submit himself to Esav, Binyamin therefore is zeicha that in his month, in the month of Kislev, and in his portion of land, which is the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the Nes of Chanukah occurs. If we move on further in the story of the Meraglim, which is in Parshas Shlach, just as this Parsha of Ayishlach, here we have the tikkun for that which occurs in Parshas Shlach later on, the remedy before the wound. We read there what it's brought down in Lakutim Maharan, where Rav Nachman says in his Sefer that Chanukah is in the Rosh Tevis of the Pasuk, Slachna v'avoin ha'om hazeh kegoydel chazdecha v'chasher nasasa. Hazeh kegoydel chazdecha v'chasher nasasa is the acronym Chanukah. What does Chanukah have to do with that Pasuk? What does Chanukah have to do with Parshas Shalach? Why is Chanukah in Parshas Shalach? He doesn't give a reason, but based on what we're saying, the connection is very clear. Because Chanukah is the tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. If we look in Eicha, which is the Megillah that was written as a result of the Churban, which was brought about because of Chet HaMeraglim, and there we read how the Pasuk says, V'loi Zochar B'yoyim Aploi, Hashem did not remember Hadoim Raglov, Hashem does not remember the Beis HaMikdash, which is called Hadoim Raglov, where Hashem, Kaviyachol, sets His feet. B'yayim Apoy, on the day of his wrath, he did not remember. Shikach Hashem, Mayayid V'Shabbos, Lama L'Netzach Tishkachenu, Tisha B'Av is a day of Shikcha, a day when Kaviyachal Hashem seems forgot us. Chanukah is a day that Hashem remembers us. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Shemen Zayis, which as the Gemara says, Shemen Zayis is the school of a memory. One who is Rogel B'Shemen Zayis doesn't forget. And the result of Slach Nov Avoin Ha'amazek Goyel Chazdech, which is Moshe Rabbeinu begging Hashem, beseeching Hashem that he should forgive Klal Yisrael, is Salachti Kedvarecha, Vayoyim Eloi Salachti Kedvarecha, which is Rosh Hatevis Kislev. Kislev, the Chav Samach is Salachti Kedvarecha. In this month, in the month of Binyamin, in the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which falls out in the month of Kislev, the month of Binyamin, we are zoichet to the Gemar Chasima Toiva, as the Svarim tell us, for those who still didn't do tshuva yet, those who have not completed their Yom Kippur, have till the last day of Chanukah to do so. Because on Chanukah there's the Slicha for that, which was supposed to have taken place on Yom Kippur, when we recite these very same psukim of Slach no la'avayinu amazek goydel chazdecha, and Salachti kedvarecha. Therefore, perhaps we can understand why Binyamin is connected not only to Esau, but to Yishmael as well. Because in next week's Parsha, perhaps we'll elaborate more about this next week, we read about Yishmael again. And that is when the Yishmaelim sell Yosef to Mitzrayim. Meaning the Yishmaelim are in power. They're able to sell Yosef to Mitzrayim. And even though the Shvatim are those who sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim, but the fact that they're selling Yosef to the Yishmaelim means that Yishmael is in control. And Yishmael is in control and is able to sell Yosef because of the Diba. Vayoveh Yosef as Dibosom Royal Avim. Yosef is Nichshal, if we're allowed to say that about Yosef HaTzadik, but the Pasuk says so, Chazal tell it to us. Of course he meant L'Shem Shemayim, there's no question about it, Yosef HaTzadik V'chulu and everything. But Vayoveh Yosef as Dibosom Royal Avim, and the Baal HaTurim explains later, that's why he was in jail for 10 years. Originally he was intended to be there for 10 years for speaking about each of the 10 Shvatim that he spoke about, so he had to stay in jail, he had to be incarcerated 1 year per Shevet. So it definitely has to do with the Dibarah, it definitely has to do with the lack of the Shmiras HaPeh, and therefore Yishmael has a Shlita over Yosef. And Yishmael today is in the Makom HaMikdash. Yishmael today is trying to take over the Beis HaMikdash, literally, he's trying to take over Yerushalayim, which is what this whole conference is about, Rachmana Litzlam, next week. Of Chas V'Shalom splitting the Ir Shechubra Lo Yachda of the city, which is supposed to unite us all, the city that is given to Klal Yisrael when they are united. And perhaps that's what's lacking now. What's lacking is the Achdus. And the way to combat Yishmael, which there's no way to do it. We cannot do it with any weapons. The only weapon that we have, besides Tefillah, which as the Medrash says, Yishmael is Yishma Keil, that Hashem has to listen to our Tefillahs, the weapon is Achdus. The weapon is lack of Lashon Hara. The weapon is Shmiras HaPeh. When there's Shmiras HaPeh, Yishmael has no Shlita. Yishmael has a shlita in next week's parasha because Vayoveh Yosef as the Bosom Royal Aviyam, because the brothers refer to Yosef as the Baal HaChaloymos, because they speak derogatory about Yosef, and Yosef, Vayoveh Yosef as the Bosom Royal Aviyam, that's why Yishmael sells Yosef to Mitzrayim, and that's why Yishmael is in power. So in this respect, Yosef is not able to combat Yishmael totally. He's not able to do it. He's Sitnei Shel Esav. And even Esav, we see he submits himself to Esav in this week's parasha. And in our parasha, when Esav and Yishmael not only join together, but Esav and Yishmael have children now. They are descendants that are descendants of Esav and Yishmael together. So now we have already not only the man Esav speaking to Yishmael or entering into a marriage with the daughter of Yishmael. There are now actually descendants who are descendants of Esav and Yishmael in this week's parasha. But we have Binyamin. The Torah talks to us about Binyamin before it talks to us about the descendants of Esav and Yishmael. The refuah, the remedy before the wound. As the Pasuk says at the beginning of Bereishis, V'ha'oretz ha'isa soyhu v'avoyhu v'choshech al p'nei sahayim. Toyhu is Bavel, the Medrash tells us. Boyhu is Paras u'modai. Choshech is Yavan. And after that comes al p'nei tahayim, which Chazal tells us is Edoim. Edoim and Yishmael. Alpenei is Begematria Amolek, and Tehoim is Begematria Yishmael. Alpenei Tehoim. That's Yishmael and Edoim together. And after the defeat of Malchus Yavan, which corresponds to Choshech, v'Choshech Zu Yavan, and Wezeichet of Aor of Chanukah, we now have the remedy to be able to combat Esav and Yishmael together. We have Binyamin. We have the Yomtif of L'Hoidaisu L'Halel, the Tikkun of the lack of Shmiras HaPeh, which brings about the Chet HaMeraglim, which causes the first Tisha B'Av. We now have Tisha, Tovshin Ayin Hei. Tisha is Begematria Lamed Vav Neiros Chanukah. The Lamed Vav Neiros Chanukah is the Tikkun for Tisha B'Av. For the Churban, for the Shikha that was brought about as a result of the Churban, as a result of Chet HaMeraglim, the lack of interest of going into Eretz Yisrael, without going into all the reasons why they really didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Chanukah is the tikkun for that. So in Parshas Vayishlach, in this eighth parasha of Chumash, where we have the Leida of Binyamin, we can now combat Esav and Yishmael together. Binyamin is Purim and Chanukah together. And because of his shtika, because of his silence, it is amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, shtika kehoido adamya. The remez perhaps here is not just that when one is quiet, it's like as if he admits. We say, if he's quiet, oh, that means obviously he agrees. Shtika kehoido adamya. There's a depth to this chazal, that shtika, being quiet, kehoido, the hoido of Chanukah, the praising Hashem that we do on Chanukah, which Yom Tov of Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Bahalul of Hoidos, is a result of the shtika, of the silence of Binyamin, of not talking. He didn't speak, he was quiet, he did not say Lashon Hara, he was not Moitzi Shemra. We know that Esav is referred to as Seir. Yishmael is Paron. We read at the beginning of Parshas V'Sayis HaBracha, V'Zorach Miseir Lomoy Hoifia Mehar Paron. If you add Seir and Paron together, which is Esav and Yishmael, it's Begimatria Shtika Kehaida Damya. Shtika kaida adamya, that's the tikkun against Esav and Yishmael, against Seir and Paron, which is Binyamin. Binyamin, it's amazing about Binyamin. Binyamin lost almost every member of his shevet in the story of Pelegesh Begiva. But because Binyamin was quiet, because Binyamin didn't bow to Esav, Binyamin exists still today. He only had 600 members, as we learn in Sefer Shoftim after the story of Pelegesh Begiva. But they were able to survive, and a lot of us living today are descendants of Binyamin, because today either you're from Yehuda or from Binyamin or Levi, that's it. Aseres HaShvatim, we don't know where they are. Binyamin survived against all odds, not only that Klal Yisrael itself is the Ma'at Mikol Ha'amim, Binyamin is the Ma'at Miyuta de Miyuta. Even Rabbi Meir is Choshesh L'Miyuta, the Gemara says, but he's not Choshesh L'Miyuta de Miyuta. Yet Binyamin, who is a Miyut of a Miyut, still survived. There's a Nitzchias in Binyamin. Like the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which has this Nitzchias and Purim as well. The Midrashim say it's not only Purim that will last forever. But Chanukah as well. These two Yomim Tovim are forever. Chanukah and Purim that are revealed to us over here, that Yaakov Avinu reveals to us here, Vayasech Oleho Nesach, Vayitzak Oleho Shomen, at the birth of Binyamin, are forever. And despite that there's tragedy, which means the birth of Binyamin brings with itself a tremendous tragedy here, the death of Rachel, where Rachel is buried on the side of the road, and there's a kever Rachel, which Rachel is misabel and albonehah, mevaka albonehah, which seems to indicate more of a Tisha B'Av mode. But at the same time, there's the birth of Binyamin. She calls him Ben Oini. She sees the tsaris of Pelegesh Begiva. She sees the tsaris that Klal Yisrael are going to go through as they enter Eretz Yisrael. But Va'aviv Karoloi Binyamin. Yaakov calls him Binyamin. And perhaps, the end of the parasha, again we see Binyamin's effect. The first of the eight kings, his name was Bela. Vayimloich Be'edoim, Bela Ben Ba'or. The oldest son of Binyamin, his name was Bela. Uvenei Binyamin, Bela. Bela, Becher, Ve'ashbel. These eight kings at the end of the parasha, Rashi says, correspond to the eight kings that ruled afterwards from Klal Yisrael. And who was the first king who ruled among Klal Yisrael? Shaul HaMelech. Shaul from Binyamin is the first to counter the first king over here, which is Bela. Just like Binyamin, the first child of Binyamin is Bela. So here, Binyamin is the first in history. Even though the Malchus is transferred to David HaMelech, the Malchus has to be from Yehuda, but Binyamin has a share in this Melucha. U'melocha mechalotzecha yeitzeyu was said in this week's parasha prior to Binyamin's birth, referring to Shaul and Ishbosheth, as Chazal tells us, as Rashi brings in the parasha. So the first of the eight kings here, which we have to suffer under their rule as a result of Yaakov submitting himself and saying Adoni eight times, it's Binyamin again, Binyamin Shaul, who comes from Binyamin, who is able to counter the first king of the eight kings here of Edom, who's called Bela. The Pasuk tells us, Bila Hamoves Lonetzach. Death will be swallowed up. There will be no death in the world of Netzach, which is the world of Eight, which is the world of Chanukah. There will be no Bila Hamoves is Begematria La'osid Lavoi. And Eiv tells us, Chayil Bola Vayikienu, that the Satan, this is a phrase, it's a Pasuk at Eiv, but it's a phrase that's mentioned in all the Svarim, that's all the tsaris in this world is because the Satan, the Yetzirah, the Sitra Achara, swallows up all the sparks of Kedusha and takes it away from us, and our job is to get those sparks of Kedusha out of the Tumah and until the Tumah vomits it out. Chayil Bola Vayikienu, that means the Tumah swallows up the Nitzutzei Kedusha and then it spits it out. Chayil Bala Vayikienu is Begamatria Ner Chanukah. The Yomtiv of Chanukah is that we go into the outside world, in the world that has swallowed up the Nitzutzei Kedusha on the left side, on the outside, below 10 Tfachim. And there we illuminate and we light the Ner Chanukah, and with that we bring the Nitzutzei Kedusha that was swallowed up by the Koiches HaTumah, by the Esavs and the Yishmoels of our time, and we bring them back into the world of Kedusha, which is the power of Chanukah. Chanukah has the power to be mevatel these eight kings. The 8 days of Chanukah, I'm mevatel these eight kings, just like the Porei HaChag of Sukkot, as the Gemara says, I'm mevatel the Shivim Umois, headed by Esav and Yishmael, which is the reason why Beis Shammai says, Poichsen V'Holchen, that we light the menorah in decrease mode. May we be zeicha in our time, and especially, today there was an earthquake in Eretz Yisrael, so whatever that's supposed to mean, but we know that an earthquake, the Gemara tells us, is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over the Golus. The Gemara says it's in Brachas. It's not a coincidence. Certainly if it happened in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a coincidence, especially in the month of Kislev. As we're preparing for Chanukah now, the Yom Tif in which we experience Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach, we should be zeicha that the Yom Tif should remain with us when Chanukah arrives, and even before that, we should already experience the Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach, the Bittul of Esav and Yishmael, the revelation of Binyamin, which is the Beis HaMikdash, with the removal of those who don't belong on the Makom HaMikdash, so that we can all go into the Makom HaMikdash al pi halacha, after being purified from the Parah Aduma, when we'll all be able to go there halachically and rightfully, and va'olam oishiyam b'hartziyam lishpoit es har'esav, and we should be zeichet to v'hoysel HaShem HaMelucha, especially in Kislev, which Kislev is b'gematria HaShem Moloch. We should be zeichet to see the Melucha of HaShem in all its glory, and may it be immediately.